Will gave me some of the specific incidences.
Yes.
I think. See if I had any other questions. Before we get to that, I was going to ask, do you remember, was there any specific thing that sparked the strike? Was there, in your memory, was there anything that, like, what pushed them to strike?
These leaders, they were visiting towns, Compton and Jackson. And they found out the conditions of the people and the wages, and they encouraged them to strike.
Uh-huh.
Well, and the union leaders.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you said that they stayed right here.
They roomed here with me while they were here. Uh-huh. Jimmy and his wife. Minnie and Jimmy.
What were they like? What kind of people were they?
Oh.
Did you like them?
I liked them, yes. I liked them. They were sharing people. They were just good people. They didn't have children. Minnie and Jimmy lived in Hagerstown, Maryland. And when I was on the way to Ohio lately, I saw this sign to Hagerstown, Maryland after we were leaving Washington, you know. And I wanted to look them up. But I've lost contact with them. I don't know whether they're still living or not.
So what were they like?
They were sharing people, good people, you know. Isn't that way what you mean?
Yeah.
What they were like.
Were they, they were about your age at the time?
I think they were about my age at the time, don't you, Jenny? You remember Miss Compton?
I remember him. I remember he had a Kaiser. They don't make those cars no more. I thought that was the ugly little car I ever seen. Uh-huh. Even back then, and people didn't have too many cars, but they were nice people.
They were nice people.
Were they real serious?
Oh, they were serious, yes. Yeah. They were really serious. And when he broke his leg and he had to stay here, he stayed here. We waited on him. Everybody was good to him. But he kept going. He took that cast and went on out. He kept going to those meetings. And when he got it off, he said, "Thank God I'm free." I don't know if they're still living or not.
Do you remember, even before the strike, do you remember anything from the time period when they were organizing the union? The way it seemed in Will's stuff is that there was a, you know, they organized the union, had an election for the union,
mm-hmm.
and then Green Brothers wouldn't recognize the union. Green Brothers refused to bargain with the union.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And that's when they called the strike, because they wouldn't, Green Brothers was just refusing to really deal with the union.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm.
But I was wondering if you remembered anything from the time, like just getting the union, because that led up to a big election. I guess that was probably the first union election in the county's history, maybe in the region's history.
Yes, so I just wish you could have got up with my husband about it. 10 years ago.
I know.
He could have told you something.
I can't tell you and how then, often I seem to show up at places.
And I just wish that I had saved a lot. I didn't think this would have come up again. A lot of material that he had destroyed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't remember anything from the Union Drive where they were like when they held the election or anything like that?
No, but Mr. Cotton might could remember what I did.
Okay, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's see. Will gave me all these things that happened. Mm-hmm. one of them you already mentioned. You said that they about the Cadillac going into the picket lines.
Yeah.
Did they have the picket lines every day, or was that something?
Yeah, they ran on the picket line every day.
Through the whole strike?
Yes.
They just stayed out there?
They stayed out there.
Did you ever see them out there?
Yeah, I've passed and seen them out there.
What did it look like? It was
just a string of men, just a long row, you know. And they had banners or whatever, you know.
Do you remember what the banners would say?
Better wages and just stuff like that. I didn't put down what I wished I had.
Was it all black, or were there whites on the picket line too?
I believe they were black. Uh-huh. I don't know. I didn't think there was any whites on there. Uh-huh. If it was just a few. Uh-huh. I don't think there were any whites at all.
It was hard to. Will also found records on the Green Brothers blacklisting workers. Did you ever hear of anything like that? Do you know what I mean by that?
No, what you mean by that?
Well, blacklisting, like if someone's on strike at Green Brothers and wants to try to get a job at the tobacco warehouse.
Uh-huh. They couldn't. They would be turned down.
Did you ever hear of things like that?
I don't know. I know when Thomas left and he went to McLean Wholesale, he quick got a job. Uh-huh. And then he drove tractor trail all over the country. He picked up sugar in Savannah, poking beans in Cambridge, Maryland. Uh-huh. Motor oil in New Jersey, paper bags up there. Wow. And he drove this tractor trailer, and I go to bed. I still wouldn't sleep all night, I guess, because when he hit that river hill coming up, I could hear 2 o'clock in the morning. He was loaded coming back with this, the products he went off for. And Junior was a little boy. You went with him several times.
Yeah, crying when I get back to the sleep the whole time I was gone.
That must have been an adventure.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's see, some of the other things that Will found was, did you hear of other ways that if a man went on strike, were there other things? How could they put pressure on him to, like, not to strike?
Just leave the mill. I mean, if you didn't go back, you didn't get your job back.
Uh-huh.
A lot of them didn't. Thomas didn't get his back.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever hear of other things that they did to discourage the workers from striking?
I know Mr. Cotton could tell all that, because he said there was some songs that they sang.
Yeah. Mr. Cotton could tell you all that stuff. But I know from years since then, you know, people that, you know, they came up along with me, that, you know, when they went against certain things, that one guy was a brick mason. And the guy told him, say, you come up here and you voice your opinion about it, and you can believe that you won't never nail another brick in Bladen County.
Right.
And he tells that all the time now, you know.
Right.
But, you know, he was just, like, boycotted from doing any kind of work.
Do you remember them talking about any of the local merchants, like calling in credit, like if people owed them, calling in their loans?
Coming in full.
In full.
Mm-hmm.
Or the tax collector, the union. Will found it. The tax.
Yes.
You remember that?
Yes.
What exactly was that? That was.
they you would have to pay your bill up right now. That's what you mean.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You're like your back taxes.
Your back taxes.
Uh-huh. And if you didn't pay, then what happened?
I didn't go there. I don't know exactly, you know, what happened, but I did hear about that.
Uh-huh. Do you remember the people being arrested?
I think I do remember some being arrested.
Mm-hmm. They said that there were something like 140 people arrested.
Arrested. But in jail, weren't they? Did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think the union got most of them. I mean,
would
have to go pay, you know, put down a bond.
Bond.
For them.
That's why I was saying I wish that you had come along earlier. Right. You would have learned something from
it. It happens all the time to me. Last month, I called a woman. She was the last woman alive who watched the Wright brothers' flight. Mm-hmm. You know that first flight?
Yeah.
There was still a woman.
In 1903, yeah.
Her daddy had been there helping them. And she was the last woman alive who last person alive who remembered it.
Mm-hmm.
I showed up a month after she passed.
Oh.
Nobody got her story.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes you get it there in time, but
yeah.
I'm still learning a lot here. I'm just not. I do wish I could have talked to your husband 10 years ago. Or,
I do too.
But I'm still learning a lot.
I want to ask you a question. If you were doing a book and you had the opposite side of the picture, what do you think that would be the comparison to what they were trying to accomplish and what? Is that just the way that things were, and that part is understandable? Because you know, when you're on a side where there's something that you feel like that I'm trying to accomplish that is due me, and then you're on a side that I'm dealing whatever is happening.
Right.
And when you're telling the story, this strike actually happened, I wonder what would be the cause of what they would say that this strike happened and the cause why this happened, or that I had this and what happened at the store, and how much truth would be into the system of way things were ran and the way things actually, and if you ask some of the same questions, would they openly be able to answer those questions?
Well, that would be a good one for Will to question.
I'm talking about the reverse side.
But that'd be a good one for Will, my student, to answer, because I think he went and interviewed some of the Greens over it. And I hadn't listened to any of those interviews,
mm-hmm.
but in my experience, I assumed they had a very different story.
Yes.
And you know, people, I do sometimes interview people on the other side of the fence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know, I think a particularly white people in the South of that day took it to be such a God-given right.
Right.
You know, like in the same way that I mean, it was backed up by everything from Mama to you know, it was as natural as, I mean, you know, they learned it at their mother's breast practically.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, their churches were telling them it was the natural way of life.
Mm-hmm.
And they were learning to put a distance between, you know, like, so you didn't have to see. Well, my mama tells a story.
Mm-hmm.
My mama tells a story how white people are always surprised by this, and black people never are surprised by it when I tell them. but when I tell them that my grandfather had a black first cousin, and that his uncle had a I don't know what you'd call it, illicit family of, and it was my great great uncle Jimmy, and so. My grandfather grew up with his first cousin. He was a black carpenter, a master carpenter named Henderson Godet.
Mm-hmm.
And when my mama was real little, when she was so small that she wasn't considered worth. Nobody was worried what she was seeing. Whenever Henderson and my grandfather were together, they talked. They looked. They treated each other like equals. She'd say, she'd watch it. They'd look each other in the eye. They'd touch each other. You know, they'd cuss and tell stories and I don't know if they cuss, but you know they just treat each other like two men. They'd talk about the crops and he'd have Sunday dinner. He wouldn't take the rest of the family, but he'd go have Sunday dinner at Henderson's house after he had had Sunday, you know. But if any other white person came in the room, any other white person, if my grandmama came in the room or anything like that, there they were arguing politics and everything like that, all of a sudden they would switch in a second. My grandmother could walk in the room and Henderson would look down on the floor and not look David in the eye. And David would start acting like, you know, kind of the boss man. You know what I mean?
Yes.
He would start treating Henderson, you know, and Henderson would play it out. And it was all a big, you know, act. But they knew that they couldn't ever show it to anybody else either. You know, they couldn't, much less call each other. They called each other cousin when they were together. They could never do that. And people played out those acts left and right. And there was a price if you didn't. I mean, if David had, you know, my grandfather was David too. If a white man in Harlow, North Carolina, had not played out that act, he would have been run out. You know he would have. You can't. He couldn't have said, If he and Henderson had been in the local store, we just had like one country store. If he and Henderson had sat there, slapping each other on the back and looking each other in the eye, both of them would have had visitors real soon.
So.
And credit would stop coming in. I mean, my grandfather wasn't a poor man, but he wasn't rich either. He had creditors. That would have stopped for both of them. You know. And at a certain point, I think, you know, you just kept playing it out. Like, I don't know if this is answering your question or not, but in my experience, it became this thing that you couldn't break out of. And in a way that, and they still did, and they still found ways around it. You know, I mean, my grandfather died in the log woods in 1937 or 8. And who looked out for my grandmother the rest of her life?
I want to ask you a question.
Henderson.
I want to ask you a question since I'm, you know, I'm, yeah. I came from the police department and I think from all different angles, yeah. You know. Now, I was just thinking about what you said about when you called the Commerce, they called the Department of Commerce and you was telling them about you wanted to make McDowell Street. If you had to say it to them exactly, you know, what you're coming here for, and I'm going, and they're going to, you know, I'll be giving some information, what do you think?
Well, see, I don't know, so I would never have done that. See, I don't know, so I never would have done that.
I know, but I'm just saying, what do you think that, I mean, you know, we're not doing...
Probably nothing, but you don't give people more, I've learned, you don't give people more information than you, because you don't always know who you're talking to.
Yeah.
Because,
I mean, at this particular point, I know these things, they are real and they are things that you experience and things that she has experienced and things that my father has experienced, and they are things that even had an impact on my life and the way that I process and think. And I mean, I'm able to see some things that I know that's a fact. I mean, I don't sit down just like, I think one day I went and I was talking and just like right here, Mr. Walker is the surveyor. He and I are real, you know, real close when talking, you know. And one of the things that that you just mentioned is like, I have noticed that there's a difference in behavior when he and I are talking personally. And then when somebody else walk into the room, Right. And he and I were talking. And I had noticed that, you know, but we share some things that, and because of the fact that I feel like that in the experiences that I've had and some of the things that it takes to, in order to make some things to work, I think I have some answers for them too.
Yeah.
You know, because I mean, I've been in Washington, D.C., and I've had some answers for a lot of things that work right now in Washington, D.C.
Right.
And they're doing it, yeah. You know. And, you know, I don't, you know, sometimes, you know, just like when I was saying, when you called and I said, I don't know what people do with things. I don't know. I don't even have time to figure out why they do for some of the things that they do with people. Only thing that I have time to figure out is saying that when I, whatever I become part of, I know why I'm a part of it. I know how much I got to put into what I'm a part of. I know how, you know, what my tolerance level is. I know how much dedication I have to it. And I know all of these things right up front. And I can sit and tell a man, this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I think that that's what makes people strong when you're
yeah.
dealing with things that need to be done. And I think that people that have intentions to do it know it.
Right.
You know, a lot of people don't understand why they are weak in certain areas because some things they do not know about themselves.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? And, and the reason why I said that, I was looking at it and I was thinking about, because I know that there are things that still exist. But I mean, you know, there are a lot of ways that we get past it. And we can get past it and don't even have to deal with it. But then when it comes down to, say, unnecessary problems,
right.
that, you know, that just take an hour out of your day when you can be doing something really totally positive for that generation coming behind you, that young generation, that would help them rather than try to deal with some of the issues that people have not even dealt with themselves in their lives, and they know that things ain't going to never be what it was. And
right.
again, because all over the world, people are trying to send a message that, you know, that's yeah. not the way.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And so I asked that question, you know, because I noticed that people still... they want to know everything that's happening. And I tell you what, let me tell you something, man. You go out to the Methodist Church and let the word pass that there are 50 people out there having a meeting and the whole police department
I bet.
Will patrol that area. I don't care that's what crime right. might be.
Patrol that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's true.
I'm not surprised.
That's right.
Yeah. And some of it's just being in a small town and
mm-hmm. want to stay on top of everything that's happening.
It used to bother me when I lived for a while in Hyde County, which only has 4,000 people, the whole county. The biggest mm-hmm. town, uh-huh. biggest town's 400 people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd come in from the east, and I'd stop and get a Coke at a little store. And then the place I was staying was about 20 or 25 miles down the way.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time I got there, there'd already be a pot of collars from the next door neighbor. And a couple notes about things I ought to be doing, and, you know, and the answering machine would have a couple of phone calls, uh-huh. you know, where I'm supposed to be that night.
Right.
And I talked to one guy at Coca-Cola fountain at a convenience store, and word spreads fast.
Yeah.
And other times when it's like I go and do, like I was doing research in a county courthouse. And it was research about the civil rights movement in that
mm-hmm.
county.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like half the county came by the courthouse. you know, on both sides of the issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, black people started just coming in left and right to tell me what had really happened.
Mm-hmm.
White people kept coming by left and right to tell me what had really happened from their point of view, and that it really wasn't all that, you know, and you're not going to write about my daddy, are you? Kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't put out notice or anything. I just came in, quietly asked, you know, where are your records, sat down, and word spreads fast. Well, yes. Y'all know, I mean, word spreads.
Yes.
Word spreads
it's
fast.
It's fast.
Anyway, maybe that's everything. We talked about the tax collector. Did you hear about when they, Will found some things on them evicting some of the workers from the mill houses? I mean, for the mill housing, for the quarters. Do you remember anything about that?
I don't know if I remember anything definitely, but that sounds
like... Everybody would.
Yes.
Yeah. A lot of what he found was all kinds of records on them coming up with reasons to arrest people, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like that there apparently was an incident up there where they, at least the union believed that they took advantage of that maybe there was a fight or something amongst a couple guys at the mill. In the quarters, but the police used it as this excuse to arrest like 40 of the workers who had nothing to do with it there at the mill, there at the quarters, and put them in for 2 or 3 days. At a point, I think the union was having problems just paying for the bonds of all those people who were in jail.
Were involved. Well,
for a day or two or three, I guess.
I wish I could tell more about that.
In the union records, in the national union records that Will found, there's all these letters from the union leaders, like I guess from Minnie and
Jimmy,
to their Jackson. Union, trying to get more money for the bond to pay for the bonds of the people arrested. But I think that's all the questions I have. Is there anything I missed or that you think you should... Is there... I know it's an awful long time ago.
Yes.
I mean, it was 50 years ago.
50 years ago. I want to ask you a question. How do you think that all of this will... I know it's... and it's bits and pieces, but because you have information from so many different sources... how do you think that this will benefit everybody, and then how do you think that it will be digested among the whole total community? Because I know a lot of it is truth, and a lot of it, and then it all depends on the way you write it, too.
Right.
Right. And a lot of it had to do with a lot of things that's happening now as far as change and what it is now. And if some of those things hadn't happened, some of the things right now that's happening would not have happened.
Right.
But I mean, who's to say what are the things that would have not have happened? But we know that the things that happened then are the reason for a lot of things that's going on right now.
Yeah, it's one of the questions I guess I did want to ask is what effect did you all think that in the interview y'all did with Will, you made it clear that this was kind of the first thing like this to ever happen here. And I kind of wondered if it have lasting consequences for the community in your eyes?
To me, it does, because I mean, it wasn't that far from the time that this happened, and still, a lot of people, when you drop to rock bottom and you just make complete changes in your life, a lot of those people made complete changes in their life. It wasn't that situation with our family because of the fact that we had other support systems.
Right.
My grandfather was farming, and we had the support system. We never had to worry about whether we were going to starve or not have anything on the table to eat.
Right.
And just even right now, and we got 2 deep freezers full of food just from gardens that we planted the last 2 years.
Right.
Nobody eats.
Gotta eat more.
I would say that the impact, and people getting over it, I was 10 years old, and I say 8 years later, I would say that we had a clear memory that we had to do something. And I mean, not only those kids that came from the quarters, but the people that came from this town itself.
Uh-huh.
We knew that if we stayed here, and rather than saying, growing up as a child and say, this is what I want to do in my community, and this is what I want to, where I want to work, and this is what I want to do. We were denied of that kind of a dream. You know, we had certain people that were brick masons and that laid brick, that had could go places, go from here to Fever, go to Lumberton, get on jobs and lay brick, and they could do the work. They made good money. And I went to college and came back from college, and I taught here in Bladen County for what, 3 years?
3 years.
And let me tell you what. When I came back, I think the first car that I had, the guys that went to school with me and that were in college with me were driving Cadillacs, laying brick. You know. And I think that teacher salary, what was back then, something like $2,800 a year.
He said, I'm going to Washington and get a job teaching, I'll make more money. When he got there, the policemen were making $3,000 more than the teachers. And he took the test, and that's why he stayed on the police force all those years.
But I worked in the schools every day.
Yeah.
My thing was like, I worked out of community relations. I never worked the streets in the police department. I worked community relations. I gave lectures on substance abuse. I did things with... I dealt with anger management. I did with conflict resolution. Those are things that we took classes and we learned how to do that. And so I ended up getting a social work license. So then I would go to the schools, and then when we had, I do counseling, individual counseling to kids that have behavior. I always dealt with kids with disruptive behavior, and I would teach them little things, you know, and I was. Tell them things that they need to develop by self. When it comes to self-confidence, you have to learn how, you know, what self-respect is, and have respect for yourself and respect for others. You have to have self-control. And I was telling them the things that cause them to get in trouble when you don't have control of yourself. And when, you know, and I talked to them about self-discipline, you know, and you know, being able to do things and do what you say you're going to do and complete things and that kind of thing.
Right.
And then children had, I say, when you can see these things about yourself, then when you meet people, automatically you see those things.
He's an old man. He's been out of school a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Is that long, Chris? All right.
Yeah.
Well, what did you think about the, do you think that the, that the union or the strike had any lasting impact at all? Do you think it affected the community or the men beyond what it was?
It gave them the initiative to go on to do better. The strike did, because they did do things to help themselves, you know. I think it helped. In a way, what do you think, Jenny?
Seeing from the time, you know, back during that time when people were more together, and I think that one of the things that was developed from that strike and during that period, that people now, there's no unity when it comes down to people coming together to do anything anymore, you know, as far as if they had to have a strike right now and it was on the job, and say, just like up at the processing plant, the hog plant, they tried to get a union there, and
I heard about that.
And then the sheriff was up there. Anybody that he found that was in favor of the union, they couldn't cross no line of anything that looked like it might not be right, because they, you know, that type of thing. And I mean, I'm talking about last year,
right?
And this is something about people being able to better their lives and better their lives and become and getting a fair share of what they, you know, of what they want to invest in their community, you know, and being able to invest that. So, you know, my thing now is that with what people, and I this is a theory of mine, and I really believe this, a man that makes $6-7 an hour cannot afford to take me from here downtown for nothing. Because he counts every ounce of gas that goes into his car.
Sure. That's true.
And I tell her that every day. I say, Mother, I say, when I left Washington, D.C., I was making $33 an hour. When I retired, I was making
and the police department making $33 an hour. And I said, right now, my retirement check is more than people make here working every day. My retirement check is over $30,000 a year. $2,584 a month. Right. You see what I'm saying? And I'm saying that's, and you know, and what I'm saying to her is this, is that when people, even when I call Washington, D.C., I say, we're having a rally at our church, and I want you to give me a donation.
Your friends.
My friends. Yeah. Mother can tell you the same thing. They had a 12-tribe rally in our church, and in 2 weeks, man, I had $1,800 that people had sent to Mount Zion, Amy Zion Church.
That's okay.
You know, the smallest check was $25. And they sent as high as $100.
Yeah, that's great.
I mean, donations. These are just people. I mean, I'm talking about just 40 people that I took a Rolodex and just did that. And they mail that to me. And it's not, and I say, a lot of people you look at and you say, when people are at a poverty level, man, the bill collectors can't even expect them to come and send their money on time. And I'm talking about these people that are just giving money to, you know, to the church and for worthy cause, you know.
Yeah.
But, and there's a big difference, man. And sometimes I can't understand why, if we're going to run a country and be in charge of a country, why we can't see that these are some of the things that cause the failures that's happening. How can we pay our way out of everything and take the government and think the government can pay our way out of it when we can let people work their way out of it?
Yeah.
You know, and then they would have better choices in their life. They'd have better choices for their children. I worked in the police department in Washington. I saw children saying, when I get to be 18, they get pregnant at 14. They got a baby. All right. By the time they're 28, they're grandmothers. Huh? And a 14-year-old can't get a job nowhere because they can't even get a work from you.
Yeah.
And then when the grandmother is 28, she working 8 hours, going from there to another 8-hour job. Then she has 4 children.
Yeah.
Hey. Then here comes the 14-year-old behind her. By the time she gets to be 20, she got 4 grandchildren and 4 children, and she working 2 jobs. And who is taking care of those children?
Right.
So what's happening? Children are doing and making decisions, and the world is becoming. And then that process began to multiply. And then all of us that think that we're on the other side of the fence, then when we end up going down to places just like right now with all of the things that's happening in the schools and the shootings and all that, the drugs and all these things, this is where all of it's coming from, because we don't know what our children are doing because we're so involved in so many things, man.
Yeah.
And I think that we're gonna have to change our whole value system. Mm-hmm. And we're gonna have to kind of reassess, you know, because I tell you what, man, I look at kids right now, and we've had kids that we have helped through our alumni association in Washington, send them to college and say, well, this kid is smart. But then that kid did not have all those parental pieces that the parents should have been teaching that child. And when that child ended up going to college, he had the ability to learn. And I tell you what, right now, I could take you to Lawton, Virginia and the prison in Washington. Now, you see some of the smartest men that you ever seen in your life. And all of them in jail. They're not doing society one piece of good.
You're holding them up. You're talking to your dog.
Well, I'm interested, but I should get back. I uh-huh. just want to make sure. Was there anything I missed as far as the old days that you feel like we just ought to make sure we get down before I turn the tape recorder off? Is there anything else that you want to say about any of it?
I don't think I can think of anything. I'm glad that you're doing this, because I'm glad that Will is doing it. It's Will, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I'm glad that he's doing it because it needs to be known. The young people around, when they get to listen at us talk, they say, we're interested. We want to
hear. Yeah.
Well, we didn't know that. We want to know what went on.
Well, that's a good note to end on.
Yeah.
Let me turn this off. Mm-hmm. I'll, the